So good evening, it's Vidya Tara again, and I'm here actually in the lounge room of the women's community this time with the fire roaring behind us. And we've only got one Pauli preceptor with us today, and that's Parami, and we're joined by Sabuti, who's in very rude health, from what I can gather.
Yep.
And
sorry.
We're coming to the end of the college meeting. The college meeting been and gone. So I'll start with Sabuti and just see what you felt the highlights of today were.
I haven't been participating fully in the preceptors' college meetings because I've been also doing an Astana presidential visit. So I've today almost completed the set. I've seen practically everybody in the community, just two to go in the wider Sangha, and just talking to people, finding out how they're experiencing things, which has been delightful. And I also spent the morning with my Indian Kula mates, which was delightful, talking about knotty issues, but always very, very good communication, so I appreciated that.
Yeah. We've got quite a large contingent of Indians here at Adistana at the moment, haven't we? As well as the Mogasiddhi and Yasho Sagar, we've got the two young women.
Shradavadri and Vidya Dharani.
And Maitrivi
Nagar. Of course.
Yeah, you must be feeling at home.
Oh, yes. Well, it's not transatlantic, I'm
transcontinental.
Transcontinental, yes. I spend so much time in India and about the same amount of time here, so I feel at home in both.
Yeah, except the weather's probably slightly warmer over there.
Yeah, well, it wasn't actually this winter. It was really quite cold, and it's like in southern Europe, they forget that winter is going to come, so they don't adequately heat. So you don't feel it when you're here.
And Parami, how did you find today?
I'm just trying to remember what today has been. So we started the day in our kulas, I think, so again, meeting with the women's kula, but there were very few of us left, actually, because a couple of people have had to leave. Dhammadena and Sangadevi had gone already. Oh, no, Sangadevi was there for the kula meetings, right. So we talked about some new public preceptors that we're looking at and we're working with. Some people we're hoping they'll join the college in the not too distant future. And we threw around some ideas of some retreats that some of the women public preceptors might run as a team, working together as a team, which we got quite excited by. Some things here at Adistana over the next year or two. Yeah. So I think that they were the main things that we went back to this morning. Oh, and also just looking a little bit at ethical issues, where breaches of ethics and, almost in a more theoretical, I was quite interested in thinking about how, when there's been a breach of ethics, how do you measure when time's gone by? It's not just time, but how do you measure when the person's made amends and expressed their remorse, etc. So we talked about that in more in a theoretical way than with particular issue cases. That was interesting.
Because, of course, that's something you do at every college meeting these days, as a review of any ethical breaches that come up.
Where there's been a suspension or where there's been, mere suspension, that we have an update on how that person's getting on.
So we heard a little bit yesterday from Dhammadena and Nagabodhi about the work that you've been doing with Mahaprabha as well. So it'd be interesting to get both of your takes on that, because it seemed to them to be quite, often these meetings have themes around it, or there's a lot of bits and pieces being done. But they both were talking about the fact that while it was quite what he did, well, the way they put it was he stirred the pot a bit.
Yes, first of all, he's an extremely genial and a competent presenter and facilitator, I suppose is the word. Very, very interesting and quick, mm. to take things up. I have to say, more than anything, I just felt reassured. I thought we were doing all right.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. You know, there were certainly one or two things that emerged from the way he asked his questions, and one or two of the angles of it, approach that he suggested that were helpful. But by and large, I thought, I think we're doing all right.
Yeah.
And that most of the things that he was exploring, we'd sort of thought about, perhaps not as articulately, but. Yes, that was my main sense, that we were an efficient organisation, to put it that way.
Yeah, I think for me that session, or the two sessions of Mahaprabha, they helped focus some things that we've been discussing anyway, I think. And in a way, it's what Subhuti was saying. I think at the end, most of the things that he talked about, we were thinking about. Having him there facilitating a discussion, I think, brought it together in a particular way. And maybe some people seem to feel that it brought some new stuff into focus. I mean, it's interesting. You say they thought he stirred the pot. I wouldn't have put it like that myself. Right. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm. I mean, I really didn't feel there was anything particularly controversial in what he said or anything that... Yeah, well, to say that we haven't been kind of thinking about. In fact, some of the things talked about you yourself have tried, Vidyatari, I've tried to bring into focus in the college where you've said to Damarati and I and Mahamati when we worked together, I remember you hammering on, if I may say so, about succession planning being a really crucial part of any organisation's forward vision. So, yeah, it felt kind of more familiar material to me than I thought it might. I appreciated it, though.
Sure, I appreciated it, but again, because I function as a preceptor mainly in the Indian context, we're actually quite a bit ahead in many respects in that way, because there's a smaller kula with a more distinct arena, and we meet a lot.
Right.
We meet more than the kulas do in the West, which I think they could do with learning from, to be honest.
Yeah.
We do sort of a lot of thinking about forward planning and looking for people, bringing them on. We, for instance, have had these retreats for senior order members who we think should be moving towards being public and private preceptors, what we call Kalyana Mitra retreats. We've been having those for both the men and the women for the last 3 or 4 years, and they've been very effective in bringing people on. So, again, I just felt reassured that both internationally and in India we were really dealing with the situation quite intelligently. And that was a boon, to see that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
But,
well, sometimes often that's all you need is just to see that you're on the right track and you're going right.
Not that I felt we weren't, but it was sort of good to see somebody like Mahaprabhu, who's extremely experienced and skilled. Bring that out.
And he himself said quite a few times, didn't he, you know, probably we're on the right track and there's a gap perhaps at the moment generationally, but actually you know, we're going in the right direction. That was his kind of reflection back as well, looking at it from his point of view of kind of planning ahead, etc. Strategic thinking. I mean, one of the interesting things that came out of his session as well was, for me, was the kind of talk of how not all college members will function in exactly the same way. That, you know, for some people, the more strategic thinking isn't something that they particularly want to be engaged with. I mean, I think we have to be clear on principle, and we have to be clear on the bigger picture in the sense of the order worldwide, but... Not everybody wants to engage in a particular kind of discussion, and maybe, you know, that's okay. And also thinking ahead in terms of numbers, we will presumably come to a point where not all public preceptors can sit in the same room and have those conversations in detail. So that was quite good just to reflect on that, and that maybe there's bits of the meetings that people won't come to or... Yeah, just like maybe we rethink a little bit how the college meetings themselves are structured.
Yeah. Well, I certainly look forward to the day where you can't fit all the public preceptors into one room. But just sort of moving on, just having the two of you sitting here, both of you go back together a long way, don't you?
We certainly do.
How long, in fact? How did you first meet?
I first became aware of you at the opening of the LBC.
Possibly even before that, actually. Oh. Well, of course, I would be more aware of you than you would of me, because you were a great teacher then, Sabuti. I was a wee quiet mitra from Glasgow.
That's right. I don't remember the quiet bit. I do remember wee and from Glasgow, but I don't remember the quiet bit.
So I moved down to London in July 78. And we opened the LBC that year, didn't we? That year. So it would have been around then.
Yeah.
But I used to support Sabuti in retreats and courses, actually. We did quite a lot of work together.
Yeah, at the East London Meditation
Centre. That's right, before the LBC was really even up and functioning particularly well. And then we also, there was a period of time not long after my ordination where Sabuti and I did some kind of outreach things together. Like, we went to an ICOM meeting together, and we went to something in Darlington College together. And so I've got memories of driving, I've got a memory of driving through the night coming back from one of those things to East London, and Sabuti driving and being a bit sleepy, so me talking at him for hours.
Which wasn't hard,
it was quite an easy thing to do. So yeah, we go back a long way, and I supported quite a lot of retreats as a mitra.
And of course, Damarati was sort of part of all of that picture as well, wasn't he?
He moved to London a little bit
after. A bit later, in a slightly different context, wasn't it? I didn't sort of know you in that context of Damarati, although you and he knew each other.
So Damarati, when he first moved to London, worked in the studio.
That's right.
Windhorse Design. Did quite a lot of design work for the movement, and they also did external design work. They were right livelihood, commercial right livelihood, which is why he moved. That was his reason for moving. And also to be around the LBC. But that was I can't remember exactly what year, but it was certainly after I'd moved.
I didn't really get to know him until he became chairman of the
LBC.
I was president.
He moved before I got ordained, I think, because I've got a memory of me cooking for an order weekend in the East End Meditation Centre, which has became Bodywise eventually. And I used to cook for order weekends quite regularly, and I remember Damarati being there.
But the Glaswegians used to drive down overnight. They'd arrive on Saturday morning, and then they'd drive back on Sunday night.
That's right.
Those were the days.
Yeah. I used to do that for order mitra events.
In
Australia, we do that for chapter.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
But in this small island in which we live, people don't even go across London. I used to hitchhike then with Vajramala. You remember Vajramala?
Yeah, I do.
She and I used to hitchhike then overnight sometimes on a Friday for events. We had these weekends for mitras at Amaravati, which was a women's community. There were probably like 12 mitras or something that would come to them. And then we'd be there for the weekend, and then we'd go back. And actually what we would do is we would hitch back up on a Monday and go to Edinburgh to support the class on a Monday night, and then arrive back in Glasgow about 1 o'clock in the morning and go to work on Tuesday. I had energy then.
Yeah, those were the days. So, you know, in a way it's interesting, isn't it? Because you were chair of the LBC, Damarati, then that was followed on by Damarati.
Not immediately, later.
Yeah. Chair of the college, and then Damarati. So you actually watched him.
Yeah, following me around.
Yeah, he is a bit.
Yeah.
So he's off to Myers Gwynn then.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so it'd be nice just to get a sense of, you know, given he's just stepped down as chair, just a sense from you of you know, how he's been over the last 2 years, his contribution.
Yeah.
I mean, you both are very close, aren't you?
Yes, and very different.
And very different,
I think I can't imagine how we would have been over these last 10 years without Damarati. His particular personality and combination of skills and his approach, I think, has kept a steady hand on the tiller at a time when the seas were very choppy. And his intelligence, his ability to listen to people, his relative unselfishness, he's not particularly bothered. Mm. He's fascinated by everything. So he's just interested in what people have got to say, whereas for me, ideas are a question of passion. For him, they're a question of interest. Not that that doesn't mean he's deeply committed to the ideals and the principles. So it's hard to underestimate, no, hard it's to overestimate okay. Dhammarati's contribution over this period. He's been the right man for the times. And he's helped very much. He's been a central figure in bringing the movement to the and order to the point at which it can go beyond Bhante. Without him, I can't think it would have been done.
And he also does a very nice book cover.
He does a very nice book cover.
So this is just a little plug for your
Indeed. Yes, it's just book. I've just had published a book, Mind in Harmony, with a beautiful harmonious cover by Dhammarati, based on a Botticelli painting. And it's on the 51 mental events of the Yogacara Abhidhamma. But it's not, I hasten to add, an Abhidhamma book. It's an exposition for practical purposes. And I do recommend it.
And, yeah, Parami, you've not only been a close friend of his and watched him in the last 10 years, we've been in the shade community at Adistana together as well. So your thoughts?
Well, I've worked very closely with Dhammarati as well over the last, I think it's 8 years that I've been one of the International Order conveners. And I moved initially to Birmingham and then here, and Mahamati then being the other International Order convener. The three of us met very regularly. Well, you, Vidyatara, convened those meetings for us. I remember you used to call them the G3, plus one.
When
the, and we did a lot of brainstorming and thinking and kind of looking at setting up of the International Council. We did a lot of work on that and, you know, Subhuti also. And I've just, I've been really impressed by Dhammarati's tenacity even in some of those, like really following through the ideas that we'd come up with and his care and execution of some of those ideas. I was saying in his rejoicing the other night, I think it's easy to underestimate how hard Dhammarati works because he's a bit of a, he's likes the good life a little bit as well. You know, he's sort of likes nice things and he watches interesting documentaries and reads lots of books. So I think, he's got a real interest in life. As Spooty said, he can get fascinated about almost anything. He's got an extraordinary capacity for fascination. But I think therefore sometimes people just don't realise how doggedly he works at things. So when, for example, he's tried to write a report on something or write up after an event or something, he really is so careful about how he tries to articulate things. He's really trying to do it in a way that will be, easy for people, accessible for people, but very clearly laying out principles. And I think that's quite a task. And I've also been very impressed by how he and Subhuti, how you two have worked together. I don't think it's any secret to say not everybody finds Subhuti the easiest person in the world to work with.
Tell me who.
I'm sure there's not true. No, but you have a very particular style, don't you, Subhuti? And, sometimes you can, if I may say so, while I'm being recorded, come over as a little blunt. And
I'm proud of the fact.
I know it's not something you're ashamed of at all. But, and I think that bluntness, you're so clear on principle, you're so clear on, really clear on communicating Bhante's take on the Dharma. And I think Dhammarati's been able to work with you on that. He's been able to take those principles and, almost translate them or something, if that's quite the, maybe not quite the right way of putting it. And I know he's really appreciated working with you. He always finds you stimulating and, makes him think, and that, but then he does think. He'll take it and work with himself as well.
They're very much a partnership, I felt, in that respect.
So, you know, having worked alongside that, I've really appreciated both of you, and I've really appreciated the way Damarati's been able to bring some of your ideas into a wider context and into, say, with the International Council, that we've been able to work alongside, say, the papers that you've done, and then looking at the practical implications of that. So, yeah. And, and we're good mates.
Damarati and I.
I mean, we're siblings, you know. For good or for bad, I think sometimes we bicker a little bit, only a little bit. But also I think there's a lot of respect and care there. I think we're... He's certainly one of my best friends. You know, and my world is richer for having him in it, for sure.
And so the post-Damarati, the now... We've moved past postmodern. We've now got post-Damarati. Sadoloka, where do you think he's going to steer the college?
Well, of course, in a way, I did use the metaphor of hand on the tiller. But in a way, the chairman's job isn't, the chair's job isn't to steer the college. But I think Sadoloka is a very different character to Damarati. And he's a very steady, very deep, very thoughtful man who I don't think is particularly interested in the larger work. I mean, he's concerned with it. He's not. He knows he's not necessarily the man to do all that. So I think that he will continue to work with Damarati. I hope so. Because I think that Damarati's work in that respect is not completed. And I think Sadoloka will clarify and steady the basic principles, particularly in regard to ordination and and the work of the college and the impact of the college as a collective on the order and movement.
Because he has you know, enormous experience in the ordination process through Padmaloka.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because Damarati's never worked in the ordination process. He hasn't done much ordination. But Sadoloka has really done his time in Padmaloka and done many, many ordinations and worked through the syllabus of preparation again and again and again. Yeah, so that will bring a different flavour. But I'm just waiting to see what will happen. I'm not going to guess too much. Because you often find new things coming out of people when they take new responsibilities. So we'll see.
And I think he and Damarati will work well together. So he's been a deputy, as you know, of the college for the last 5 years. And so therefore also part of the steering group of the International Council. So he already has a lot of experience of working alongside Damarati, and I think they work well together. They're very, so different, but I think they can be very complementary.
And we've got three new deputies as well. Paramabandhu, Ratnadharani and
Amritdeep. In India.
So they'll obviously bring their own flavour.
And I think Ratnadharani is, having been so busy here and having left Adhisthana, having been so engaged with that for the couple of years or whatever, I think she's starting to get energy back now and emerge again a bit. And she's having lots of ideas in her cooler. She's kind of having lots of, you know, thoughts and ideas. And
she's very, very thoughtful. Very quick to spot very important principles and so forth. So I think she'll bring that. Then Paramabandhu is a very cool, clear thinker, very calm and measured, and you know, very, very principled. And Amritdeep is sort of similar in a way. Concerned with principle, not quick to make up his mind, but careful to reflect and wants things to be done really well, really properly. I think it'd be a very good combination, actually.
I think so. It certainly feels like the college is in safe hands.
Oh, yes.
To use that, I mean, not that I think we particularly need safe hands, but it does feel like a good team of people to kind of... I think we all felt very satisfied by it, and it was completely consensual. You know, our cooler very quickly talked about Ratnadharani. I mean, Ratnadharani won't put herself forward for something, But once it was suggested that she become the deputy, and she thought about it, you know, and she'll take it really seriously. So there was no, you know, that was complete consensus. And I think, I gather that was the same for the Indian cooler and the same for the men's.
Well, I think Yashasagar and Amrit Deep stitched it up.
Yeah. And again, the men's cooler, the combined men's cooler, they suggested Parama Bandhu, and it seemed to, you know,
it's quite interesting. I didn't actually participate in any of those discussions apart from the Indian one.
Yeah.
But I'd come to the conclusion that my candidates were Ratnadari and Parama Bandhu.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, we were sort of joking about it when we came back into the big group and we were putting people forward, and it was like, Padma Vajra said to me, "Oh, so is it Ratnadarini?" And I said to him, "Is it Parama Bandhu?" And it was quite. So, yeah, no, it felt there was a really high level of agreement, and everybody was very keen on that.
Great. So, just to finish off, one highlight from the meeting.
From the whole meeting.
Oh,
I think for me it would be the evenings of rejoicings. Maybe, you know, particularly the evening where we rejoiced in Damarati. Which I know other people have talked of in the audio booths. But we did a very simple, a threefold puja, which Subhuti led. Very simple ceremony, handover ceremony, but it was moving, it was very moving. And then just listening to people rejoicing in Damarati, and Damarati actually just taking it. That was lovely, because he can be very, you know, he doesn't always easily sit with positive feedback. And I thought it was very obvious that people knew him very well from the way they rejoiced. So it was just a really lovely atmosphere. So, I mean, there are other highlights of a more stimulating type, but for me that was quite it was a very warm evening.
And Subhuti, and that could include your time here at Aristana, and if your highlight was the discussion, you know, us meeting and going to pick up Mahaprabha the other day.
Rushing from one station to another.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have to say that the study was the most stimulating, or not stimulating, more most had the highest impact. I was leading it, but as always with these things, one gains more than anybody else. And so I was able to unfold thinking and insight and understanding that I don't often get an opportunity to speak about with a group of people who could follow me. So that, for me personally, was very much the highlight. I don't get enough opportunity to speak about my understanding of the Dhamma in that sort of context. I've got plenty of opportunities to teach, but in a context of people who've got the same sort of experience as me.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was very, very stimulating. I think, just thinking about consciousness, it does something to your consciousness, doesn't it? You know, like doing study on consciousness, you feel my consciousness being affected by studying consciousness, if you see what I mean. So, that was...
What really came out of it for me was the critical importance of some recognition of the limits of the world of appearance, if you like, of the world of matter, although I think it's better to put it in terms of the world of appearance, and the reality of another world, to use the metaphor. And I think the problem with our modern times, and I think this affects even our movement, is that most people, many people, only just manage to believe in something that goes beyond the world of appearance. And I think that's quite crucial. And so that we're affected by the secularisation of Buddhism around us, which is effectively a Buddhism that's adapted merely to the world of appearance. That came out very clearly in the discussion.
Well, we'll wrap it up here, because we're about to have a community evening where Subhuti will be leading more study on Dasubandhu's 30 verses.
Indeed. Or at least about 10 of them.
Or 10 of them. Some of them. We may not get past the first one, but yes, there will be quite a few other consciousnesses affected by that. So thank you very much to both of you. And tomorrow night, Parami is going to be back talking to Damarati and Maitreyi. So until then, good night.
Good.
Thank you.